Welcome back to the Never Iron Anything podcast. Thanks for coming back after our three-month break. I'm going to start this up with something slightly different. What we're going to do is for every week, for the next couple of weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to be talking with a collaborator. So who should I start that with? Only the Don of the UK Modern Underground, Adam Faulp. How you doing, mate? You all right?
The main man, what's going on?
Do you like that? I wrote that earlier.
Yeah, very good.
A fit of excitement. Because I know what will happen is I'll say things and you'll just go, nah, like, as we go on, you'll just use this to wind me up. So I thought I'd be nice to you.
Yeah, have you got a lot of questions?
Right.
This one won't be up to your usual standard.
That'll be better.
Never iron and things, will it?
I think it'll be better. Yeah, I enjoy having you on. It's good. People sort of get a little insight into the way you torment me and boss me around.
And they get a little nostalgia for Baboonsville Radio as well.
Oh, man, yeah. We must put that on disc. What are we going to put it on, cassette tape at some one point, won't we?
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting you should mention. Should we sing it?
No. So throughout, we used to play some music on there, which obviously we can't do on this one.
But
maybe if we break out into song every 20 minutes instead.
I'm not a great singer. You've been in the car with me. It's not brilliant, is it? Yeah. Well, funny you should mention Baboonsville Radio, because for the people that don't know, that was part of our year's experiment of Patreon. So everyone goes, oh, why did you stop? And the answer to that is because we only intended to do it for a year, didn't we? That was the idea.
And yeah, we did get a bit bored after 10 months, didn't we?
We put out a lot of product, though, didn't we?
It was all right.
Yeah. Yeah, we get easily bored, don't we?
Yeah. Big shout out to... 4P really did a lot of heavy
carried us, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which turned out right. So as part of that Patreon, when did we do that? Was it 21? You reckon?
I think it might have been, you know.
Yeah,
20, yeah.
Yeah,
it must have been.
Yeah, 2021. We did this Patreon and we decided just to give it a go for a bit of fun. And what happened was we decided to put out a comic page every day of the week. And then we had a little extra something at the weekend, which was me doing a video or some kind of Baboonsville Radio malarkey. Cliff would come on and talk rubbish, 4P, a number of other people. But one of the main things we did a comic called Flesh and Ink, which is leading to why one of the main reasons we're on tonight chatting about it. Did you want to sum up? You're going to say no. Please don't say no. Would you like to sum up, Adam, what Flesh and Ink?
It's not the usual sort of guest host dynamic, is it?
It's really, not really, is it? Yeah. I'm just on my guard constantly with you. Yeah. It's like the time you hid my Fitbit watch in a room because you said the light was keeping you awake.
No,
so I'm
good
constantly
stuff. Good
as detective work throughout the night trying to find it. You'd hidden it under a load of towels. Right, good. Okay, so did you want to explain what Flesh and Ink... Well, let's talk about how it came to be. So it's it was something I wrote and then handed off to you, and it was almost like a... I know we've changed it since, but it was a sort of fast daily comic strip, wasn't it? Is that a good description?
Yeah, I think so. I think, well, the thing I wanted to do was a monthly little zine, or I guess it was... I wanted to do a monthly comic for years, but that, I think, just unrealistic, isn't it? Really?
As a small press here, it's difficult, isn't it? We've done all right, man. We put a few out in a year, but we've never managed
to hit the
monthly, have we?
But yeah, the best I think we could do is make these 16-page zines. They were A6. They were done pretty quickly, to be honest.
Yeah.
And we sent them out every month, and that was, I guess it was kind of the same as getting something out every month.
Yeah, it was good. And it was I'm going to summarise it, because for those that are listening who probably don't know, the comic's been substantially redrawn and we've currently got it on Kickstarter. Now, if you're listening to this on the day of release, you'll have about 24 hours left, because that's how organised we are about doing the promo. In fact, you said to me, we've done a bit of promo on this for a change the other day when we put the link out before the Kickstarter launch, didn't we? We're like a landing page.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite organised.
Yeah, that organisation finished quite quickly, didn't it?
I got a bit pissed off with promoting it today. Did you see? I think I said something. I put a picture of a baby, like a toy, on the road, and said, what's this? There's strippers and Satanists. Now fuck off. I think I put that
but out. I'm always pissed off with fucking trying to get people to see things on the internet is fucking hard now.
It's bad net these days. Yeah. So what it was, it's the story of a comics publisher called, coincidentally, Tribute Press. Now, it's run out of the top floor of a strip club in Hertfordshire. Let's just give the county. The which was one that I used to walk past to my lockdown walks. And you and I saw it a few times and we sort of fantasised about that would be a great place to run our comic company from. The floor above us.
Yeah, it was
very tawdry. It was always strip club.
It was always on the way to Strange Apparitions. We'd drive past it.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
And we'd be like, yeah, there it is.
What an awful den of thieves and iniquity that place was. I remember coming past there once and there was a woman, you know, Bo Peep is, you know, she's like lost her sheep and there'd be a woman outside with like the crook for, you know, catching sheep with, dressed up as Bo Peep with a fluffy sheep under her arm. But you have to counterpoint that with the fact she was covered in tattoos and was smoking. Sort of rather ruined the image of Bo Peep standing outside this strip club when I used to drive past. I'm like, yeah, well, there you go. There's a comic there somewhere.
Of course, isn't it?
Probably, isn't it? Yeah, I find it demeaning to women, so I don't watch it, but you probably do. Now, so it's based in the 1970s, and the hero is a bloke called Peter Queen, who we partly based on Jason King. And as I told him last week over a number of glasses of red wine, Pat Mills. I had told him before, but I think he'd forgotten. And
I don't know if you told me before.
Have I never told you that before?
I don't think so.
Does he not say that in the Bible that I wrote? I can't remember.
I just got the photos of Jason King that you sent me.
Yeah, because technically, as I described it to you, I was the Jason King character and you were the Stevie Sharp character. Who is that bloke from the Confessions movies? Absolutely, totally fitting there. So he's the head writer for this comic company that puts out a number of British weeklies in the 70s. And he does comics like Mike and His Magic Eagle, stuff like that. And there's a strip club below, and it's got quite a big cast, isn't it? You had to draw quite a few consistent cast members over the period of the five issues we put out on it.
Yeah, well, I think that was my other little when I said about the monthly thing. My other little stipulation was I wanted it to sort of be quite soap opera esque.
Yeah,
and I think that's where the sort of, you know, the gang of people come from.
Yeah, I enjoyed writing those different characters because we had Ruby, Penny, and Martini, who were the strippers. We had the bloke who owned the pub was a bloke called Custard. That's based on a friend of mine who we call Custard because for the only reason that I asked him what he likes, he says, I like custard. And that's been going for about 40 years now at this point. Then we had Father Damien and Father Francis, who were sort of noncey evil priests who wrote comics about cricket. We had Maggie Parker, who was the lesbian comics writer. I'm at the with the infamous line, call in the lesbian comics writer at one point. I was quite proud of that line. Did you base her on anyone at all?
I think so. I think I might have put 70s lesbians into Google images.
I got this sort of New York cool, sort of New York round glasses kind of cool. Used to hang out with Lou Reed kind of person.
Maybe it was a bit.
That's how I got that cool, off you, what you did. Then we had Bertie Drum, who was the publisher. He's quite grumpy, smoked a pipe, a bald-headed bloke. We had Mick Fountain, who was the editor. Debbie Thorne was the secretary.
Debbie Thorne.
And then one of my favourite ones was Vinnie Crump, who was the warehouseman with a quite a sort of Dennis Hopper-esque past. Who knew if you needed a gun, you could go to Vinnie Crump. If you needed to hallucinate and get LSD, you could go to Vinnie Crump. It was one of those sort of dudes, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he's kind of like the cult favourite, I reckon.
Yeah.
Like, whereas I love that we're talking about this. No one's fucking read it yet. Maybe come back to it after you've read it and you can...
Yeah, I think we're giving it. It's a nice little breadth of characters. They'll be enjoying reading when they get it, you know.
I wonder if anyone's sold yet.
Yeah, I can't. I think... Honestly, I'm just checking my phone. I know we haven't released this yet, but even just people knowing that we're doing this will instantly mean we'll get another 100 backers. I think I should just say 100 backers because we haven't hit 100 yet. So some of the Satanists were called Pricey, Brucey and Spanner. I used to know a girl called Spanner because she used to make my nuts tighten. That's the joke there. Yes. Fitting in with our 1970s theme. And there was Sister Nyssa of Clay. Now, there's a combination of themes there. Nyssa, because she was one of the Doctor Who companions we all sort of lusted after when we were kids. And I had just stayed. Do you remember I went on that terrible holiday in Norfolk where I kept texting pictures of me in the rain? That was in a place called Clay. And I thought it's so depressing and wet. And I was so depressed being there. I mean, I'd take you a picture of me and I'd put that, like the waterproof hoodie, you know, the waterproof jacket up, and I'd pulled the drawstring around my face. That was to protect my head from the wet weather. So that's why she was from Clay. What's the general story then, Mr. Falp? Come on in.
What happens in the story, Tony, is that Peter Queen heads into the Tribute Press bullpen one day, only to find that one of the strippers has been kidnapped by Satanists, and him and his gang must retrieve her from the Satanist lair. Lair? How do you say that?
Lair, I'd say.
Okay, me too, actually.
Good on you.
And you know, it's not taken kindly, because the Satanists are after a virgin, you see.
Yeah.
And the story sort of goes on from there into a good, it kind of ticks on quite nicely.
It makes it sound quite normal, that, to be fair, doesn't it? Because we then get lines like, the gash is getting bigger. And that refers to a sort of chasm that is appearing in an interdimensional breach that is appearing in the sky. So what starts out as a sort of, let's go get her back from Satanist, quickly escalates, doesn't it? One of my favourite scenes being the crossbow bolt scene, which I very much enjoyed writing.
I mean, it's really the climax of the whole book.
In more ways than one.
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
I mean, the visual metaphor at the end is of an actual climax. Yeah, for people people who are looking for hidden meaning and underlying iconography in our
work. Well, we like to think our readers are quite clever,
significantly more clever than us.
And we sort of hide these sort of things, like vagina-shaped portals. You know, it's like, can they find them as they're reading along?
Yeah. Some people have spotted it, I'll be honest with you, but that does go to prove the sort of intellectual quality of the readers that we attract.
Yes, and my artistic skills as well.
They're very true, very true.
Yeah.
You know, properly. There's a way to go in it. You want to show it as a vagina in the sky, but you don't want to draw it like it's drawn on the back of an exercise book, do you? You know?
Well, maybe we do, because at the time I had to get that page done that day before the next one came out.
So let's go into that. You've gone in and sort of reworked it then, have you? Have you reworked every page of it?
I've changed the style a little bit. I've done it digitally for one.
Right.
Maybe just for speed, but it's still done quickly. You know, I don't want. There was a part of me that people think they're going to get like a really nice, sort of, well drafted book, and it's going to be sort of scribbles. But it's, you know, good scribbles, I think.
Yeah, I think so, man. Yeah. It's black and white. People, we should remind that, because you've become well known for your colour work recently, haven't you? That's the thing, for your sort of psychedelia. But this is black and white.
Yeah, black and white. Like I say, sort of rough and ready, but almost sort of simple. I think, yeah, I've tried to hone some cartooning chops while doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And there's a big homage to comics of olden days as well, isn't there? There's that. We do admire the dudes in the trenches making British comics. And there are our heroes in this book. Really, you know, they're dudes who, like, probably served in World War II, you know, do look like blokes who just go to the office in a suit. But when it comes to the old fighting and the rough and tumble, they're front and centre, aren't they? Kicking ass.
Yeah, they're good to go. Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, that's probably where you that's where you rub off on the book the most, I think, because obviously you're well versed in your sort of Marvel UK, Planet of the Apes,
stuff like that
was coming out.
Yeah, like even stuff like Victor and Warlord and Valiant and Action and Battle and even some 2000 AD stuff, you know, The Mind of Wolfie Smith, some of the stuff like that, maybe Star-Lord stuff. Definitely.
Mad when you think about it. It's like, that stuff's just none of that's about anymore, is it?
Sad, isn't it? And it's sad. Yeah. Stuff that, I mean, formative for people of my age and older. Really was. And when you think all we've got left is freaking 2000 AD, which is, you know, taken a massive dump in its own quality pool. Anyway, moving back to you. So talking about collaborations, this is, how many comics have we done together now? I'm going to say it's about 10, 15, something like that.
10, yeah, it's loads. Too many to count.
Yeah. But you are rushing forwards in getting a reputation in the US and the States, in the US and the UK, for being an underground creator. I was looking at something, I Googled you earlier. Did you write about Newcastle United on a website once?
Yeah, well, I tried to lose that in the Google search, but I am secretly I am a big football fan.
I never knew you wrote for that site. I knew you supported them and everything, but
I was 12 when I was writing those blogs.
No,
yeah. No. So if you look at the publish date, it would have been like 2006, I think, maybe.
Oh wow, there you go.
I was just a young journalist.
Yeah, cub journalist down at the ground. So I saw and there was a YouTube video came up. So I'm just some random American bloke reviewing Electric Chair One.
I've seen that. Yeah, I don't know who he was or where he got the book from. I think you said he got it from there. Maybe you get permanent damage.
Yeah, that's where he says. Yeah, that's what I was going to say to you. Yeah. So you've done a tour of the US events. I mean, we did Heroes together. We did SPX at the same time. You've done Permanent Damage. We did TCAF. What else have you done out there? You've done a few things. Have you done another one? I'm trying to think.
I think they're the ones. They're the only ones I've done. I've done four. Yeah. So.
Yeah. We're distributed through strangers. You know, we're buddies now with Steve Lafler. It's been a strange few years, isn't it? Where, reputationally, especially you, man, you're getting your name out there in the States, aren't they? You know.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I guess that's just sort of, going, yeah, I guess going over there, which I've been fortunate enough to be able to do. So,
yeah.
But it's just meeting people. Like I say, it's just, you know, you can post stuff on Instagram, but I do think that in a way that only gets you so far. I think you just got to go and more about like putting names to faces and stuff. And that does you some good.
Not being an absolute fucking weirdo, I think, helps, doesn't it, with some of these people, you know,
It's a quality I don't love, so.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We're not really into those people. Yeah. Yeah, being able to have a conversation with these people, I think. And you know, the likes of, I mean, it's been a fucking joy getting to know people like Lafler, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, top dudes, yeah. I mean, even like people like Keenan Marshall Keller, who runs Permanent Damage, was just fucking, just a top dude. He'd like, you know, we went for dinner and had some beers and stuff.
Oh, nice work, man. And we're obviously buddies with, us and Cliff are buddies with the EOC, 11 o'clock guys. They're very into promoting our stuff. Very kind of them. And even people like Josh Bayer, we met at SPX, didn't we? That was lovely to meet him. Massive fan of his stuff.
A bit of an indie comic. Like, I don't want to say God, but you know, he's as far as like in like self publishing and sort of indie comics, like modern indie comics guys go, like.
Yeah,
he's got to be like the top, isn't he?
He's that sort of guy that is doing it in a way that he does it exactly the way he wants to do it and for no one else. And that's kind of where we are, aren't we? We do not give two fucks what other people are doing. We just do what we want to do. And people like him, I admire very much so for doing that. I love watching his stuff on Instagram. He was lovely to meet. Unended was a great book. You know, the ROM stuff he did is great. That was a real pleasure.
Back again next weekend. It's TCAF. I'll be there.
Oh, is it next weekend? TCAF, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we missed a year, but we were there together 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago, wasn't it? Yeah, I did enjoy it. I think because I was there for Nobro and you were up on the strangers table, but the bit I enjoyed was the hanging out with the guys that you'd met. I mean, as much as I love the Nobro crowd, it's not really my style of book, you know. And we were next to Silver Sprocket. Even Silver Sprocket ain't my thing. But hanging out with people who had finger skateboards and stuff, that was, and going to readings of comics was the fun of it.
Yeah, so I was gonna say, do you remember the reading? That was class. Because that's like a trendy thing now over there, isn't it? To do like comics.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more so, isn't it? I'm surprised we haven't got one at Thought Bubble or something coming up. Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
if
someone's doing it. As soon as Gosh do one, I think they'll probably catch on.
Yeah, so people
it's
don't
like
know.
A Gosh thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. For people that don't know, they display your comic on a screen behind you and you read it. You sort of act it out, sort of thing. And
yeah, I mean, it works best with like funny voices. If you can do some funny voices, just make yourself look like a bit of a twat, really. But
yeah. Well, the thing is, we went to it. Eddie's going, oh, we've got to go to this thing. Let's go to this thing. And he was driving, so we're like, oh, cool. So we jumped in the car and we were sort of stuck, I don't know, in the cheap seats, weren't they? And all I've got, it looks like I'm taking a picture of the stage, and all I'm doing is taking a picture of your face, making a face back at me.
Well, I wasn't really watching the comic reading. I was watching you and your absolute disgust. Because it was a bunch of, like, sort of millennials drinking beers.
Yeah.
And reading their comics in little silly voices.
And then we went for a drink with that bloke who looked like hipster Groucho Marx. Do you remember?
Yeah, well, that was where the finger skateboards come out.
And he's just and talking to him, and I'm saying rude things, and I'm trying to say the C word just to fucking see how people react to it. It's my usual tactic. And
yeah, that's good.
And he just pulls out of his pocket. He's chatting nice enough, nice, lovely as pie to me, like lovely chat, you know, and he gets his skateboard out and starts skateboarding on the top of this barrel that we're standing around having gin and tonics. I thought, what's happening to my life?
I'd like to know what context that was in, because it sounds like you're so fucking boring that you had to reverse the finger skateboarding.
Who's this 55-year-old man who keeps saying James Hunt just to see what my reaction is?
Time for this finger skateboard.
Let's do him with a finger skateboard. I wish I'd had one on me now. I'd have pulled it out and finger skateboarded
well, you bought
up
me
his
one
face.
In the,
Oh, yeah.
When we left Toronto, you brought me one of the departure lounge.
Good. So since then, we've also done SPX that we just talked about, but we also done Angoulême, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, good stuff. Good times.
Good times. Did you do a signing at Angoulême as well?
Yeah, we were at... I can't remember what his magazine's called. But yeah, but his actually Informative Comics magazine,
which is really good. Big shout out to Xavier. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think I was on the Sunday. I was signing.
Because I was there on the Thursday or the Friday, I think. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't come. I know that because
I was on the train home, wasn't I? Yeah.
Yeah, it was all right. We sold a few, but I mean, it's hard not having anything in French.
Yeah.
Was what I took away from that. Not having a graphic novel and not having it being French was...
Well, that's the thing to look out for next year. And now we've got a graphic novel, as I like to refer to it, a very graphic novel.
That's true, yeah.
We'll be looking for the foreign rights market, my friend.
That's true. Flesh and Ink, what do you reckon that is in French?
Flesh and Ink. Let's look that up.
Yeah.
Let's get that. I'll put that in the show notes. I don't bother with show notes, really. Good stuff. So we did Angoulême, very much enjoyed it. And... there's a few of us hang out. Eamon came out, Simon came out. There's a few of us hanging out when there. It was good. Simon,
yeah.
There was Sam and Neve. And yeah, it was all right, wasn't it? It's a good laugh.
Joe, do you know who didn't come out? Fucking Daniel Clowes.
He didn't. And I don't blame him because
I was chasing that fucker around from auditorium to auditorium. It wasn't at any of them. Turns out he'd gone home.
Yeah, because he didn't read in the grand prize. I feel bad for him. I think he should have won it.
Yeah,
I didn't. I don't know. Good on him for not winning and saying fuck you.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, he won the best graphic novel, really. So who's the real winner? Like fucking.
Yeah,
as opposed to like the Grand Prix is, I don't know, maybe like more of a popularity contest, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but there's reasons for that.
To have the best book is surely the best achievement.
Yeah. Who was there who did Goethe? He was there, wasn't he? Josh Pettinger was there, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Well, I've got some news. Thank you for asking, Adam. I'm currently writing a column for Underground magazine, American Nature, which will be in Diamond next month. And that has
this
in
from
it
the Santos sisters, boys, right?
From them, who we met at Heroes, top guys. And I think I'm meeting them again at Heroes. And they approached me and said, oh, we've got Josh Pettinger in, we've got a few others of people you like and know, you've talked about on the podcast. Did you want to write something for it? So I have written something for it. To be fair, I sent it to them thinking they can't go for this. And they went, I fucking like that. That's good. So I was quite pleased.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll send it to you, didn't I?
I've read it, yeah.
Really, oh, good. Yeah, because there's a reference to Fake Taxi in there, which I just wrote in there to make you laugh. Yes, so look out for that.
So well.
Yeah, look out for that. And then the next big thing we've got coming up, because I said I'd only kick you off now, is we've got Bridlington Comic Con on the Sunday, the 15th of September. Talk about a change of pace. Toronto, France. Charlotte, North Carolina.
Good job you reminded me of that, to be fair. I wouldn't have known.
Because I got to book the Airbnb. I haven't booked it yet. Because I said to... Because Johnny Cannon's going up with... He's called Going Down with... who's the guy that does boxes?
Stephen Ingram.
Thank you. I was just testing it. And I said, where are you staying? He says, I'm waiting for you to book an Airbnb, you wanker. I went, oh, okay, I better book that then. So I got to book that as well.
Oh, okay. And that's the 15th, you say?
Sunday the 15th. It's a Sunday convention, that one.
Okay.
So we'll come back on the Sunday, so you won't have to take the day off work. But yeah, I think we'll go up, maybe go up. I don't know. We'll go up on either the early Saturday or late Sunday, or late Friday or something like that and stay over. Be a laugh, wouldn't it?
All right. Get on the piss.
You didn't do it last time, did you? We had a laugh. PXD turned
up.
No, to
be honest, like, I think like you alluded to after coming back from SPX, I'm not sure that Bridlington, with all due respect to the convention, really,
we got thrown out of the bar. We got thrown out of the hotel bar for shouting at the bloke, the terrible lounge singer they had in, comedian.
Oh, what song? What numbers did he do?
Oh, come on. I sent you a video of him, didn't I? Do you remember?
I don't.
Good. So that's what we've got coming up. We're probably looking to do another anthology after Flesh and Ink, but please do go and have a look at it. You might like it. I like to think you probably would. It's actually, as you were saying earlier to me, it's actually all right.
that's my review of my own book. Yeah. 100 pages, actually, all right.
You read it and you went, no, actually, this is all right. And I felt pleased with that little comment that you said to me on the phone the other day.
What more do you want?
Exactly. And it's pretty much done, isn't it? So it's not going to be long before it should be in your hands if you back it. We always tend to post that very quickly. Thanks to Rachel Lee Carter for saying that online the other day for us, our friend Rachel. Yeah, we're over the amount now, but it'd be nice to get a few more people on board who can have a read of it, you know.
Yeah, it would, yeah. It would be good. I'm thinking of buying a car, so that's what all the money's going to go towards.
Oh, you'll probably get a nice car with that then.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Because your other car died, didn't it?
A little while ago, yeah, but my last car, I scrapped it, so I didn't really need it anymore.
Okay.
It's nice to have a car, isn't it?
It is nice. I like having a car. So you can drive me about for a change. I can be in charge of the stereo.
I'll make sure I get like a Reliant Robin or something so you can have to squeeze in.
Yeah, get a minibus. You can drive it all the way to Spain. Yes. Good stuff. So where are our links, Adam? Where can people find us?
I'm going to say Tribute Press, at Tribute Press Comics. Or at Tribute Press. I think it might be at Tribute Press.
Yeah, that's fine. Just look
or go to tributepress.co.uk. That I am sure of. You can go and you can do that.
You can find stuff on there. If you, I'll put some links in the show notes for this, or you can just look for Flesh and Ink or Tribute Press on Kickstarter and you'll come across our new Kickstarter. We've had a real success with Kickstarter, haven't we? They've all done well. So we're pleased.
Yeah, thank I think you. it's I think it's better than chucking something on like a big cartel. I don't know why. I think maybe just the optics or.
Yeah, it's nice to use it as a sort of promotional tool, isn't it? Sometimes we did that. We didn't do that with Cockney Kung Fu. I just stuck that up, but that sold out pretty quickly, so that wasn't too bad. It wasn't a massive print run, but
and you can, of course, get it with the with one of the tiers.
You can get the 40-page Cockney Kung Fu by me and Nick Prolix, and yeah, that's available on there as well. So I'm very pleased about that, which you put together for us. It looks lovely. Congratulations again to Nick and his saucepans. He's got two new saucepans, hasn't he? So well done, fella.
Yeah.
For the Americans, that means crockery. Good. And okay, mate, and where can we find you personally online?
Try not to mess about with all that these days. My website's still going because I know, because the domain's getting more and more expensive. That's adamfalp.com.
Which is good because there's a nice, the front page has a nice variety of your artwork on there, doesn't it?
Thank you. Yeah, you know that because you googled me earlier.
I looked it up earlier again. Yeah, I've looked at it before though.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me some credit. Thank you, Matt. And you can go to neverunending.com for anything comics related. Every Wednesday, there'll be one going up tomorrow. Is it what I call the tops and bottoms? Who are the favourite thing I've read that week and the least favourite thing I've read that week? And there's usually something else going on there, me ranting about something or other. So go and have a look at that.
I'm a big fan of your bottoms. I always like those.
Yes. Often they don't need a comment, do they? Occasionally it says, what the fuck is going on with this? Or something like that. But mostly it's fairly self-evident why they're so shit. Yeah.
I mean, how do you find them, by the way? If we have a little look in, I mean, are you buying those or are you seeking them out?
A little bit of everything. A lot from, because I use 4 reading apps to look at, 5. Something I always come across something on there, or if I see something and accidentally buy something in Gosh from the small press section or the Marvel section, to be fair, is another good winner.
You could accidentally come across a shit bottom is what you are.
Yeah, I think a really nice unrounded bottom, I could probably come across that quite quickly, I think. Yeah, didn't take long. Yep, thank you for asking.
Good.
And come back next week because a lady will dare to come on the show, and I'll be chatting to Helena from Art92 if it all goes well.
Do you think there'll be any coming on the arse references in that chat?
I don't know. She fights her corner, Helena, doesn't she? Do you know what I mean?
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But we'll be talking about Clear Run 2 and a couple of other things on that one, so I'll come back then. And then the following week of that, I've got two rascals on. You know them both. One from America, one from Grimsby. So that'll be the next one after that. So
Grimsby. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone from High Wycombe?
Do I know anyone from High Wycombe? Oh no, he's next. Yeah, he's the one I got asked later. Yeah, good point.
Make sure you've got your rugby shirt on.
With my collar turned up, he'll listen to this and he'll hate you. He'll be.
He always does. He always does me on the Awesome Comics podcast.
No, he does. Yeah.
He can't get a minute in without mentioning me.
Oh, we've got some good guests lined up for the ACP as well. I'll tell you about them in a minute.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. Back to boning again. But good. All right, mate. Nice one. Speak to you in a
nice
bit.
Nice one. All the best. All right, well, I'm talking now, so...
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah, well done.
All right, we ready?
Yeah, go on.
All right, ask me the question.
Okay, did you want to tell us
what... No, what?
Oh, you can't.
No, it'd be easier for me to just start answering.
Okay.
Well, what happens in it, Tony?
Keep going.
One of the strippers is abducted by Satanists.
Yes.
And Queen and the gang that